righteousness. Explaining that, explaining how every believer has this gift of righteousness, but unless you understand it and know how to use it, in fact, we all have the same righteousness, but it's you grow in understanding of righteousness. And the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because this is the inheritance of the Lord. And every tongue that rises against you, you should condemn it. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, because their righteousness is from me. And there are many, 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 many promises in the Bible connected with righteousness. So the Bible tells us to get established in righteousness. So that's why we did that. If you missed any of the services, please, please, please get online, see it, understand it, take notes, get the notes. By the way, the notes are all there on the website as well. Amen. So today we're going to start talking about grace. And turn over in your Bible to Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 first. Let's look at this passage. You're all familiar with this if you've been around here for any period of time. Paul writes in the book of Romans. Romans, I really like to call it the Magna Carta of the gospel. This is really where he explains the doctrinal truths regarding grace and righteousness and the gospel. He explains the gospel, the power of the gospel. And so in chapter 5, one of my favorite chapters in Romans, he says, for if by one man's offense, what's that man's name? Come on, say it real strong, y'all. Good, good, good. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam, one man, Adam's offense, death reigned. That word reigned is basileia. It means to reign and have rulership like a king, and that's why all of us are born into sin because of Adam's transgression, Adam's offense, the Bible calls it here. Because of his one sin, sickness reigns in the earth, death reigns, and all the results of sin and death reign in the earth. We've all been touched directly or indirectly by sin and death, indirectly or directly, one way or another, because of one man's offense. And you got to get that. That's why cancer is so powerful in the earth. It's why death is so strong in the earth, why lack is so strong in the earth. So watch what the Bible says. For if by one man's offense, death reigned. You get the magnitude of that? Through the one. But watch these next words. Much more than the way cancer reigns, much more than the way death reigns, much more than that, those who receive just two things, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, will do what? Reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So those two things, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I covered the gift of righteousness for probably 6 weeks or so. And today I want to start talking about grace. Now, many of us have a definition of grace. What is grace, by the way? Anybody know? Okay, I knew we would say that. God's unearned, undeserved favor, and that is a good definition, but it is a very incomplete definition. And I really believe, because speaker included, we haven't understood all that grace is, we haven't been able to receive abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. Because it's very limited. It's very limited to say unearned favor. And if you just replace unearned favor with everywhere you see the word grace, it doesn't fit some places. It doesn't fit some places because it means much more than that. And that's what I want to lay the foundation for tonight. Then we're going to delve into it. Are y'all ready? All right, turn over to Acts, the book of Acts, A-X-E. Come on, somebody. I'm just kidding. A-C-T-S. Y'all know that. Let me ask you something. All right. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. All right? Paul here talking about his death. He's talking about why he's alive in this chapter, and he's talking about how all these things have come against him, people trying to kill him, and he knows his death is near. But he says, but none of these things move me. He said, I ain't even bothered by that. Come on, what a life. He said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. He says, no, I'm not all tied up in my life. Watch what he says. He says, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. What is my ministry and finish my life with joy? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Underline that in your Bible, because essentially what Paul's saying here, he's making the word gospel and grace interchangeable. The gospel is the grace of God. The gospel, the good news is the grace of God. All right? Look over in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I love the book of Galatians. Paul is Christian cussing at the saints. The whole book. Because they've gotten out from under grace and they're getting back into the law. Back under the old covenant of law. And he says it's very deadly. In fact, watch what he says here. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Here we see it again. Grace of Christ, he uses that to a different gospel. So the gospel is the grace of God, the grace of Christ. He said, I'm amazed that you're turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So that means the gospel must be the grace of Christ. Grace, right? And watch what he says. He says, which is not another. There is no other gospel than the gospel of grace, right? He says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ, all right? Which is the grace of Christ. Look at verse 8. But even if we or an angel, notice he doesn't even say demon. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. If anybody preaches any other gospel than the gospel of grace, he says, let him be accursed. He says, have we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. He proclaims a double curse on anyone who says they're preaching the gospel, but it isn't of grace. And really what he's getting at here is that many people, they were, he called them Judaizers, have crept in and they started preaching the law. He said, we like all this grace stuff. He said, but you still need to be, many of them were saying, you still need to be circumcised to be right with God. And so Paul is like, no, don't mix these two because you're negating grace. If you get under law, and this is a problem with many believers, they're still under the law. And so, and often unbeknownst to the believer. So, all right, so, did I read verse 9? Yes. So, the gospel is the grace of God, the grace of Christ. And watch this, the gospel is, look over at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Y'all know this one by heart, I bet you. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We could also replace the gospel of Christ with the grace of Christ. Isn't that right? Because there's one and the same. They're interchangeable. For I'm not ashamed of the grace of Christ or the gospel of Christ. Why? For it, that grace of Christ, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God. So one of the first definitions that we can get, and we'll see it much clearer throughout the New Testament, Paul says it over and over. Actually, he says it that the grace of Christ is actually the power of God, the strength of God. It's the power of God. Watch this. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ or the grace of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Isn't that right? How do we get saved? By grace through faith. Come on, somebody. He says, so the gospel of Christ is the power of God to healing, to abundance. The grace of Christ is, right? For everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Are y'all with me? Now, let's see that. Let's bear it out, because I'm just setting the foundation. I want you to see that grace is much more than just unearned favor. It is unearned favor. It's correct, but that's incomplete. That's very, very incomplete. And I want to show you in the scriptures. Y'all with me? All right, look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read verse 4 through 10. Y'all there? Ephesians chapter 2. Watch this. But God, who is rich in mercy, aren't you glad about that? Come on, anybody glad he's rich in mercy and not judgment? Rich in mercy because of his great love, which he hath loved us. Anybody glad God's in love with you? He's not mad at you, not judging you. He's in love with you. Even when we were dead in trespasses, even when you were your stankiest, even when we were our worstiest, God said, I was in love with you even when you were dead. So much that he made us alive together with Christ. How? By grace. He made us alive with Christ by grace. So it's grace that made us alive in Christ or saved us. Are y'all following me? Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. Next. So do you hear? Watch what he's saying here. So back up to that verse for me one more time. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. So alive together with Christ is what he's calling saved here, right? by grace you've been saved. Now go to the next one for me. And raised us up together. He did that by grace too. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All this is what he did by grace. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. The Bible says here it's going to take him the ages to come to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. The exceeding riches of his grace are so much, he says, it's going to take him millenniums to show us that. It's much more than unearned favor. Are y'all with me? The reason we'll reign in life is because we receive much more. Now think about this. If grace were just unearned favor, you can't do anything to receive it. We all get it. How can the Bible says receive it in abundance and get more and more? In fact, it says you can multiply grace. And it says you can grow in grace. And the Bible also says you can frustrate grace. Isn't that right? Or you can fall from grace. But if it's just unearned favor, we all got it. We can't change that. But there's more to it. It's all right? So that's what we're going to look at. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. How in his kindness, I love this. He wants to show his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. Aren't you glad he didn't say he wanted to show it towards something else, like towards the apples and the trees? Yeah. Yeah. He wants to show this exceeding riches, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. Who us? Us in Christ Jesus. Go to verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. This is by grace, right? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. All this by grace, for good works. So we've been saved by grace, and we've been saved for good works by grace. We've been saved. Grace saves us, puts us in salvation, and grace gives us the good works. We've been saved to be and saved to do. We've got grace to be and we've got grace to do. This is important. We've got grace to be and we've received grace to do. All right? Which God prepared ahead beforehand that we should walk in what? In those good works. In those works that grace has given us to do. Now that's what I want you to see. Let's read the same passage again in the Amplified Bible. It makes it a little bit clearer. Can we? Yeah, here's the Amplified. Y'all have an Amplified Bible yet? Y'all got an Amplified? Who has one with them right now? Okay, good. Here's one. This is my favorite Bible. That's why it's got tape on it. I go through these Bibles, I guess about one a year or so, but they all blow out. But it's my favorite Bible because on this side, on the left side, it has the New King James, and on this side, it has the Amplified. I call it a parallel Bible. I encourage you to get one, and particularly if you like to study and understand the Scriptures. All right? But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. That always reminds me of the Wizard of Oz every time I read it. Remember, the great and powerful Oz, and the thunder's going on and everything. But this is the great. Back it up again. Let me read it one more time. I like it so much. But God, so rich in his mercy, because of in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. I told you God's in love with you. Anybody glad about that? Yes. Watch this. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he already, this great, by grace, made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. Watch this, what grace did. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. Quickened him. What's quickened? Have you ever cut your fingernails back to the quick? What happens? It hurts. Why? Because it's alive. Quickened means he made him alive. Let me read that again. Yeah. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. The exact same resurrected life that Christ has is the exact same new life that we have when he quickened him from the dead. We've been quickened by that same resurrection life. Watch this. Go to the next one now. For it is by grace. It was by grace that he did that. Quickened us, made us alive. His favor and mercy, which you didn't deserve, right? That you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of whose salvation? Christ's very own salvation. He said, this is what grace did. Grace did all that, right? And plus, he raised us up together with him, with Christ, and made us sit down together, giving us back seating, joint seating. We sit in the same seat with Christ. What does that mean? The same position of authority that Christ has, we now share that same authority. All right? In the heavenly, by what? Grace did this. He's still describing what grace has done. And he says, in the heavenly sphere, by virtue of our being where? In Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one. Next. And he did this. He did this. He did what? He did this. He gave us this grace to save us. He put us in Christ. Why? He did this, that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace. He said, I did this to demonstrate his grace. Are y'all with me? What kind of grace? Through the ages to come, the immeasurable. That means you can't measure grace. Limitless and surpassing riches of his free grace. Anybody like free? Yeah. Come on, somebody. Hey, isn't free good? Yeah, come on, y'all. Y'all free? Have they ever accidentally put an extra French fry in your McDonald's bag? The best bag is the free one. Come on, somebody. Or the samples over at Sam's Club. Anybody go over there and get the samples? Especially when they got that meat lover's pizza. Y'all had that? I'm hungry. Forgive me, y'all. Come on. He did this, that he might clearly heart towards. Free riches of his free grace, unmerited favor. That's where we get that definition of unmerited favor. In his kindness and goodness of heart toward us. Who us? Us in Christ Jesus. Next. For it is by free grace, he's still describing the grace, God's unmerited favor that you're saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, right? But it is the gift of God. What is grace? This is this free gift of grace, right? Not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest anyone should boast. He said, it's not based on what you've done, because people would start boasting. Well, I got this and you don't, because I'm good and you're not. Right? He says, not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of anyone, of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. Look at verse 10. For we are God's own work, handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. Watch what he's saying right here. When we got born again, we became God's handiwork. Why? Because we're born anew in Christ Jesus. Why? That we may do those good works which God predestined. God predestined some work for you to do. When you got born again, he equipped you to do it. All right? You got it by grace. Right? This is all he's describing, saved by grace. He said, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. Look at this. Taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. He's already prearranged the path for you. Watch this. That we should walk in that path, in them, living the what? The good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Come on, somebody. Stop playing. Anybody want to live in that? Walk in that. Good. It all comes by grace. And this is what Paul is talking about. You receive abundance of this grace, and you're going to reign in life over sickness, over depression, over disease, over sin. Amen? All right, now, look over in Ephesians. Just flip back one page in Ephesians to chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Let's look at some more what he talks about grace. He says, Paul, in his opening statements, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to bless us. Come on, somebody. Who has blessed us with some spiritual blessings. Oh, yeah, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So in Christ, all the blessings are there, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Do you realize how much God's in love with you? He chose you before what? Before the world got here. Now watch. So you're alive. This is why I say you're not just the product of your parents' passion. You're the product of God's purpose for your life. He planned you before he planned the world. So you're alive for this time to walk in that good work and purpose by grace that he birthed you to be here for that. And watch, this is why the Bible says, don't let this grace, that many get their, that they receive the grace in vain. We're going to get to all those passages. Are you with me? We've got this grace that we've got to utilize. And he says, all right, let's go on. I'm jumping ahead. Turn over, go back over to Acts. Oh, did I finish that? No, I didn't finish. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Watch this one. He says he chose us, predestined us, planned for us before the world got here. Why? So that we would be to the praise of the glory of his grace. Our life will give praise to his grace. Our life, when we walk out, when we walk in this abundant grace, these exceeding riches of grace, our life will give praise. Look at what it says. That our life would be to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted. That word accepted, circle that in your Bible. It's actually the word charitu. It's charis, which is charis, the same word for grace in the Greek. The word for grace in the Greek is charis. And this word is charitu with a suffix on the end of it, T-O-O, which means much grace. Let me read it again. That your life would be to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made you highly graced in the beloved. He's made you very favored in the beloved. All right? So now he could have said he's made you highly graced or highly favored in Christ or in him, in Jesus, but he chose to say in the beloved. Why? Because the beloved is who? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God, Jesus is the beloved. He said, you're highly favored in that beloved one. You're highly favored, you're loved in the beloved. Are y'all with me? Last verse? Or is that the last? Yeah. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. How? According to the riches of his grace. I just want y'all to see that the Bible keeps saying this grace is so rich. It's so abundant. And if you'll receive it in abundance, you'll reign in life. I'm submitting to you, if we aren't reigning in life, and none of us are reigning like we could, we need to understand and tap into this abundance of grace. And that's what we're going to do. Are y'all with me? It's going to change all of our lives. Amen? Jump back over to Acts chapter 20, and let's look over at verse 32. We read it, verse 24, Paul giving his dissertation here about him checking out, and his call is to preach this grace, the gospel of grace. But now watch what he says now in verse 32. He says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Hold on. The word of grace, the word of his grace. How many of y'all have heard of the word of faith? Yeah. Remember Paul says it in Romans chapter 10, talking about getting saved. And he says, by the word of faith, because grace comes by faith, right? But here he says, I commend you to his word of grace, the word of grace. Why? Look what he says here. Which is able to do what? Number one, build you up. Come on, how many of y'all could use that? Getting built up, right? And then number two, and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. How many of y'all want to receive that inheritance that he has? Yeah, he talks about it in this chapter, in Ephesians chapter 1. But he says, it's grace that's going to give that to you. Getting this word of grace. Come on, everybody, say word of grace. All right, that's what we're going to study today. Let's look over in Hebrews chapter 13. I got a lot of verses for you. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 9. Are y'all there? I'll give you time to get there. Mark it in your Bible. Paul writing here, and you know, of course, you remember this is the book of Hebrews. He's writing to the to Hebrews, to Jews, Jewish Christians now, right, who've become believers in Christ. He says, don't be carried away, carried about with various strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by what? By grace. So he's saying here, you need to get established in grace. Do you remember when we talked about righteousness? In Isaiah, it says that if we get established in grace, established in righteousness, that no weapon would be able to prosper against us. Every weapon formed against us would not prosper. as we get established in righteousness. And that's what we're doing. That's why we study righteousness. But now we're going to get established in grace. And this is going to have to be something that's ongoing for the rest of your life. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Are y'all with me? All right, so what is grace? All I want to do tonight is just expand our definition of grace. All right, here, let me give you this acronym first. Grace. It's kind of cute. I like this. What is grace? Grace, G-R-A-C-E. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's really what grace is. It's all of God's riches, his health, his abundance, his power, his spirit. Everything God has, not at your expense, at Christ's expense. Christ made it made us eligible for it. Not at our own expense, but at Christ's expense. All right? Now, look over at John chapter 1, and we'll see that Christ really is grace, all of God's power, all of God's authority, everything God has embodied. God wanted to get us his grace. He gave it to us through Jesus. When we receive Jesus, we get it. But watch this. All right. Y'all remember John chapter 1? There's four Gospels, right? What are they? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The book of Matthew is written by Matthew, the tax collector. It depicts Jesus as a king. Depicts Jesus as a king. It has a genealogy. The genealogy starts with Abraham and David. Why? Because Abraham, the first Jew, David, king of the Jews. You get it? So the whole book, it depicts him as a king. Matthew, Mark. Mark depicts Jesus as a servant. All right? Depicts him as a servant. Is there a genealogy? No. No genealogy because it depicts him as a slave, as a servant. And people don't care about the genealogy of a slave or a servant. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke depicts Jesus as a man. That's where you'll see written over and over, the Son of Man, right? And by the way, four faces, four Gospels, four faces, those same faces, like when you, the animal that depicts a king is what? A lion. You know those cherubim, the Bible calls them cherubim, in the Old Testament calls them beasts, with angels with six wings. They have four faces. It's the faces of the gospel. A lion, a ox, right? Because that's like a servant that plows the fields. And then a face of a man. And then John, the face of an eagle. Eagle represents heaven, it flies high. So John depicts Jesus as God. Is there a genealogy for God? None. Look how the gospel starts out then in the Gospel of John. By the way, the Gospel of Luke depicts Jesus as a man. So where does the genealogy start? Adam. Goes all the way up to Jesus. Y'all get it? All the gospels mix it. And those four faces, the face here is an eagle. If you go in Revelation, you see Revelation, and you go to Ezekiel, you see it, and it describes these beasts in heaven, and they have four faces, and it's those four faces right there. Amen. So the Gospel of John depicts Jesus as God. So it doesn't start out with a genealogy. It starts out like this: in the beginning was the Word, right, with a capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, the Word, right? Isn't that true? All things were made by the Word. We see that in Genesis chapter 1, and that's what he says. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him, everywhere you see him, you can replace it with Word, right? In the Word was life, because that's what the subject is. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Watch this. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jump down to verse 10. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Is that amazing? Jesus, who was the Word, who made the world, came into the world, and it didn't recognize who his creator was. Look what he says. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, unto mankind, and his own received him not. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now watch. He, to anyone who believed on him, he gave them what?
Power.
Power to. He's describing what grace does. Grace is this power to become a son of God. All right? Even to them that believe on his name. Read the next one. Which were born, these that believed in him, they were born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. You're born again by the will of God. Anybody excited about that? This gives me purpose. Which were born, not of blood, no. Next. And the Word was made flesh. What's his name? Come on, somebody, say it like a church. Come on. There you go. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And what was he full of? Full of grace and truth. We're going to have to get to that too. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. Put that verse in that one verse right there. The next, go ahead to the next one, then we'll read it. He goes, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Put verse 16 up in the Amplified for me, if you would. Make some noise for him back there. Thank y'all. For out of his fullness, who? Jesus' fullness, his abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Now watch this. Remember in John chapter 3, the Bible says that Jesus had the Spirit without limit or something like that. What is that? John 3 and 34, I think, or 33. He had the Spirit without measure. Without measure. Jesus had the Spirit of God without measure. We receive the Spirit of God. Each of us get a piece of it with measure. And we're going to see that. But the Bible calls it, we receive this measure of grace. All right? Here, let's go on a little bit deeper so we can understand it. Are y'all with me? All right, turn over in your Bible. Turn over in your Bible. Do y'all see how that Jesus is grace embodied? He's God's grace. He's full of grace, grace, grace. He's full of it, right? Look over. Now, here we go. We're going to further get our definition for grace. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Are y'all ready? All right. Watch this. I'm going to let y'all get there. Make sure you mark this in your Bible. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Hold on. As each one has received a gift. He's calling gift here grace. Look what he's saying. As each one has received a gift, minister or serve it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let's break this verse down just for a second. All right? He says, each of us have received this gift. And he tells us, with this gift that you've received from God, be good stewards of it. You know, in other words, a steward is really a manager. It's not the owner. He's the manager of something that he's been given to be a steward over. He says, you've been given a gift. He said, serve that gift to one another as good stewards of the multifarious, the multitude grace of God. He said, you've been given some of this grace of God. Be a good steward of it and minister it to one another. All right? Manifold grace of God. Now watch. Let's go on a little bit deeper. Go to 11. So he says, if anyone speaks, that's what I do, right? If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Watch what he's saying. You've been given a gift, one of the many multitudes of gifts of God's grace. Make sure you steward over that. If you've got a gift of speaking, speak like you're the mouthpiece of God. He said, if anyone ministers or serves, let him serve. Do it as the ability which God supplies. Watch what he's saying here. That's converse to doing it in your own strength. I've received a gift, and he goes in further and talks about it, but I've got a gift to be a pastor. If you don't receive a gift of pastoring and try to pastor, it will kill you. And if you see people broke and down and out in life, it's because they've been given a gift, but they haven't been a steward over it. Are y'all with me? It's just like a bad steward over money. God said, you've been given a gift, and there's many facets of the grace of God. Be a good steward over this. Amen. Come on, somebody. Are y'all learning? If anyone, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So what is this? This grace gives me an ability, right? That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So right here we get a definition of grace. Grace here then is God's ability working in our lives. Grace is God's ability. Because he said all of us have got a gift, use it as good stewards of the grace of God. If you're going to do whatever you do, do it under God's ability and not your own ability. Now watch, y'all, because we've got to know how to receive this abundance of grace, not just to be who we are, because Paul says he's got grace to be and grace to do. Let's move on. Y'all ready? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. How many of y'all are learning already? Stick with me. It's going to get better and better. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning at verse 7, this whole chapter is about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Now watch this, y'all. This is so awesome. Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, right, by the abundance of the revelations. Paul says, God's given me so many revelations that the devil was angry at this and started attacking him. If you read through Acts, you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that Paul was, in Philippians, he said, I've been stoned 3 times, and he wasn't talking about smoking weed. He was talking about being stoned with rocks, left for dead 3 times. Remember that? He said, I've been beat by so many lashes and whipped publicly over and over. He says, I've been left for dead. All these things. He starts talking about how he's been buffeted. And so here he's like, he says, all these things, because of this revelation. Think about it. Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. The reason we're sitting here and looking at the New Testament is because primarily Paul, right? He said, unless I should be exalted, watch this, above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan. So this wasn't God who sent it. He says, the devil sent a messenger to buffet me, to hinder me, to harass me, right? Over and over and over, to keep me from doing what I'm called to do. He said, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Go to the next one for me. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart me. Ho, 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 ho. Paul went to the Lord. Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, who had more revelation than everybody who walked the earth except for Jesus, concerning the grace of God. He was the apostle of grace, right? He had a problem, and it was so big to him that he said, I went to the Lord. He had to go to the Lord 3 times about this same thing. If Paul went to the Lord 3 times about the same thing, how do we think we can go to the Lord 1 time about something, some challenge? Paul had revelation. He knew what he was doing. And he went to the Lord and said, Lord, I got this. These things are coming against me. I mean, I know how to resist the devil. I know how to cast the devil out. And it still keeps happening. What is the problem? What do I need to do? And look at the answer. That it might depart from me. Next verse, please. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen to what he's saying. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my weaknesses, my infirmities, that the power of Christ. Oh, so here he's calling, God calls his grace, his strength, and his power. Right? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, most gladly, I will rather boast in my weaknesses. Why? That the power of Christ may rest on me. Hold on. All of us, as humans, we like to hide our weaknesses. We like to think that we're the best parents. We like to to give the impression that we're the best. We do everything the best. We boast in that. Are you with me? We all do it. And Paul found the secret here. He said, listen, because we do, and particularly and professionals, pastors, whatever, lie, expect, all this stuff. And he says, don't do that. What I found out is if I go humbly and say, Lord, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I can't be a good father. I can't be a good in my own strength. I can't be a good husband in my own strength. I can't overcome this sickness in my own strength. I've tried everything. I can't do it. He says, I went to God three times with this. The apostle of grace. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. In fact, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Look what Paul says next. And look what Paul's conclusion is. Therefore, I take pleasure in my weakness. I boast in my reproaches, in my needs, in my persecutions, in my distresses. For Christ's sake, rather than lying and trying to give the impression that I got it all together, I'd rather say, Lord, I don't have it together. Help me. And the more I do that, the more I receive his grace. You notice that the Bible says this two times in the New Testament, once in the Old, that God resists the proud, James chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 5 or something like that. He said, God resists the proud but gives more grace to the humble. When we say we can do it, when we say we've got strength, we don't receive God's grace. If you don't see a need, in fact, I'm going to jump ahead of myself here. Hold on, let me finish reading this one, then I'm going to jump ahead to Hebrews 4, and this isn't in my notes, Hebrews 4 and 16. All right, after this. Therefore, I take pleasure in my weaknesses, my infirmities, in my reproaches, in my needs, in my persecutions, in my distresses. That's what his thorn was. For Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. So he's saying, when I come to God and say I'm weak, now he shows up with strength and power. So definition we get right here, grace is God's power and strength in our human weakness. Look over at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And I'm not going to get into this week. I'm going to try not to. But look what the Bible says here. In Hebrews 4, mark this in your Bible because I got to take a whole session on just this, how we get grace. Look what he says here. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of what? Grace. So grace is where? At the throne of God. But look how you get it. That we may, he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and do what? Find grace. So grace has to be found, but when can it be found? Yes! Time to help in the time of need. If you don't think you need help with that addiction, if you don't think you need help in your marriage, if you don't think you need help with those kids, you don't get grace. Pride says, I can do it myself. And the Bible says, pride, God resists that, but gives grace to those who humble themselves and say, I can't do it. And they get more grace. Oh, my God. Over and over in the Old Testament, it says he found grace. Noah found grace. Grace has to be found. And this is vitally important when it comes to your work as well as sickness and infirmities. You find grace. You have to find it. Here, let's dig deeper. All right. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 20 and 21. We're talking about grace now is God's power and God's strength, right, in our human weakness. Romans chapter 5. Paul takes some time here and he talks about how grace is the power that destroys sin. When we hear grace is unearned favor, oftentimes many believers have taken that to mean my sin doesn't matter anymore because grace covers my sin. I got this unearned favor, and yes, I've got this sin problem, but there's more grace than there is my sin, and they just continue in that sin, and they get stuck. God wants us to come to him with our sin and with that bondage, with that addiction, because you can't get over it in your flesh, in your own strength. He says, come to me with that weakness, and now my strength can break that. My power can break that sin or that addiction. Are y'all with me? Watch this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And again, what he's saying there is, there's no sin, there's no cancer, there's no disease, there's nothing that came in by sin that grace can't overcome. Grace is much more than anything that sin brought. And wherever sin is bigger, big, grace is even bigger than that. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. We talked about that when we talked about righteousness. You know you're righteous. It came by grace, but the more you're established in righteousness, the more grace can reign in your life, right? To eternal life. Now look at the next verse, chapter 6, verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we just continue in sin that grace may abound? He said that because of just what I said. People, when they hear this, they oftentimes think, oh, there's no, I can just sin. And many believers live in sin and keep living in sin, even though there's grace available to overcome that. And they stay stuck in life. Watch what he says. He says, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Dead to sin. He says, don't live any longer in that, and you can't live any longer in it. Watch this. Jump to verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For you're not under law, but under grace. So when we're under grace, sin doesn't have dominion over us. When we're under the law, sin has dominion over us. But grace gives us dominion over that sin. God's power, grace, breaks the dominion of sin. How though? Not when we say, oh, this is all right, I got grace. No, it's when we run to him for help in the time of need. Come on, somebody. Healing works the same way. It all works by grace. All right? Okay. Jump on over in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're just laying the foundation today. We got to dig deeper into these things. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. Here's where I've been wanting to go. Are y'all ready? Ooh, good. We're going to make good time, too. Watch this. Paul, the chief apostle of grace, writer of three-quarters of the New Testament, look what he says. I'm the least of the apostles. What? I'm the least of the apostles. What is that called? That's called humility. Really, he was the greatest of the apostles. But he realized he was the least of the apostles, right? For I'm the least of the apostles. Watch what this humility is doing for him. For I'm the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church. Remember, he had Stephen stoned. He was getting papers to stone and kill other Christians, dragging them out of their house and having them stoned. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not even worthy to be, I don't deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Look at the next one. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. So I'm an apostle by the grace of God. I'm a pastor by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. So I am what I am by grace, and watch what he says here. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. What does that mean? That means that his grace to you can be without effect. Receiving the grace of God in vain. That's what the Bible calls it. Where you get the grace of God and you don't utilize it. You don't find the grace that you've been born into. We were watching this thing. You ever watch that? It's this show called Autopsy? And we had recorded several of them. They had, I mean, it was one after another. Marvin Gaye, Prince, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Luther Vandross. Yeah. When Luther died, I'd never heard. It was like they kept it a secret. I was always wondering. So I recorded all these before we went to L.A. and got back and watched them all. I mean, just unbelievable. Yeah. All these people that had these great gifts. That died quickly. Not good stewards. Because everybody gets this gift. This is a gift of grace. Unearned. Everybody comes to... In fact, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Everybody gets this gift, but the Bible says you got to be a good steward over this gift. And serve it to your generation. Are y'all with me? Watch what he says. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace was not without effect. No, I worked harder than them all. Who them all? The other apostles and disciples. That sounds kind of boastful, doesn't it? Paul, you was doing good there. You wasn't worthy to be an apostle, but now you work harder than everybody. Watch, he corrects it. He says, yet not I. It wasn't I doing the work, but the grace of God that was in me. So now he says, I am what I am by the grace of God, and I'm able to do what I do by the grace of God. Now watch. It's one thing to discover your gift and find your grace. It's another thing to rely on that grace and not your ability. And this is why many churches have problems with musicians. Because musicians, they're gifted, and like Paul here, and like me, I gotta say it like me, this church can be at a whole nother place if we all learn to keep reaching for grace and not doing what we do in our own strength.
Right. That's good.
And the grace is supposed, the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace can be multiplied, and it can be multiplied quickly if each of us, like, here, I'm going to read some verses. Here, let's go to the next verse. I'll show you here. Here it is. All right? So y'all see that grace to be and grace to do. All right? If when you see people broke down and out, it's because they haven't found the grace to be yet, who they're called to be. And once they're, if you see someone who's found their gift, but then they get cut off short, they haven't kept seeking the grace, the giver of the grace, to walk out that gift. Are y'all with me? All right, let's go over in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read just verse 1, 2, and 7. All right, that was Paul. Paul talking about what his calling was. He was called to be an apostle by grace, and he walked it out by grace. He did what he did by the grace of God, not by his own ability, but by the grace of God. And all right, y'all with me? Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you've been called. We've all received the divine calling, with behavior that is a credit to the summons, to God's service. Mm-hmm. Living as becomes you, with complete lowliness of mind, that's humility, and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience. This is being good steward over that gift. Watch. With patience, bearing with one another and making allowances because you love one another. Jump to verse 7. Yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately. Whoa. Not indiscriminately. That means discriminately. That's a double negative. You get what I'm saying? So he discriminated on how he gave the grace. What he means is he gave it in different ways. In proportion to the measure of Christ. That's why I wanted to read you that in John chapter 3, where it says he had it without measure, but Christ has given us each a measure of his grace.
Right.
We get a measure. Now watch this. Yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately or discriminately. So Pastor Joe's grace is not like my grace. Pastor Rhonda's grace is not like mine. Pastor Enda's, we all have unique grace, right? All of us. Patty Shaw's grace is not the same grace. Y'all's grace is different. Each of us get grace. All right? A different grace. What he's going to describe is how if each of us will use our grace multiplies, because now I don't have to do everything. It won't be just 10 or 12 people doing everything. Everyone will do their part, and we become this body that functions, and everyone benefits from each other's grace.
Amen.
Are y'all with me? That's what the church is going to be. He's going to describe it here. Well, let's move up. Read on. In my next passage, let's see. Different ways in proportion to the measure, Christ's rich, bounteous gift. So Christ, who had it all, now we get a piece of it. Each of us our own unique. You're born to do something, and God has given you. In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes says that each of us have come to earth with a gift, an eternal gift from God. I believe he's talking about that grace. You came here with a deposit from God. You got planted here in the earth to bring forth this thing that's needed in the earth for your generation. You're gifted to do it. So he's saying, be good stewards over that. Stay connected to God. When you got born again, you just walked into it now.
Amen.
All right? And this is like when we watch these those shows on that program. Prince died at 50-something. Luther, 56. Every one of them was younger than us. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Every one of them. Every one of those people. Luther, 56, I think. Every one of them, right in their 50s. And we were just blown away with such great talent, but didn't steward life right. Most of them on drugs, right? Luther was food. Come on, somebody. Food would take you out quickly. It did, all right? All right, okay, now go to my last passages here. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Here's where we're going to see it. All right? Y'all there? Romans chapter 12, verse 3, and I'm going to read all the way to 8 in the NIV, and then we're done. Just for today, just laying the foundation. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. Don't get prideful. Pride is the quickest stop to the grace and favor of God. Pride. And many of us don't recognize pride. Are y'all listening to me? Paul said, I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. But I've been buffeted. And because he humbled himself, deemed himself low, God was able to raise him high. And that's what that passage says in James. It says that God will exalt you in due time because he'll give you more grace. To be exalted, you need to receive more grace. To be promoted in life, you need more grace. And to receive more grace, Paul says, you got to be humble yourself and manage this grace properly.
Amen.
Continually find grace. It's something you're going to have to do for the rest of your life. Continually. You know what I mean? Oftentimes, it's easy once you get good at something to just say, God, I got this. Just give me the mic. I got it. God is saying, no. Keep coming to me for this grace. If you don't see a need for it, you don't see that you need help, you get no grace. Come to the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. You get grace when you need it. If you don't need it, you don't get grace. If you think I just need something else, man-given. Now, grace may say, go do that. God may give you instruction, but get it from God. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Why? Because grace comes through faith. Right? Next, please. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. He's going to show us how the grace works in the church. He says, just like you have a body, you've got eyes, you got ears, and your ears can't do what your eyes do, your hands can't do what your feet do. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We're all connected. Watch this. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Each of us get different grace. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Why? Because grace comes through faith. All right? If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. Now, watch what he's saying here. Grace is reliant on others.
That's right.
For this church to be what God's called us to be, we all have to operate in our grace.
Yeah.
But it takes humility, because oftentimes what happens is, oh, I can do that. I can do this. No, God is saying, No, every person should be doing something. And when we all do what we're supposed to do, we all, as a body function. What if your eyes, and he says this in Corinthians, he said, what if the eye says, I don't want to do this, but I want to do what the ear does? And the mouth says, no, I don't want to do that, I want to do what the eye does. And it becomes this fussing and bickering. And that's what happens in the body of Christ. And that's what stunts growth. And it's typically pride. When people don't think they need to hear grace, they won't learn these things and learn how to flow. It's the same thing in your family. Each of us play a role in our family. Isn't that right? And it takes humility to submit to each other. Husband and wife submit to each other. But each has a role to play, and each brings grace to the table, a gifting and a grace to the table. And it functions as a body. But if pride gets in, it stops the function of that body. And the Bible says that all contention is the result of pride. When there's fussing and fighting, when there's splits and fussing in church, it's because of pride. And what it does is stop grace. Come on, somebody. Am I teaching good in this place? Now watch. What for each of us, for our vocation, actually, I didn't put it in the translation that has it, but he says, this is for your vocation, for your work. You can't do everything, but you can do something really good. But it requires others doing their good part. Like Pastor Enda is a great administrator. If I had to do what she does, we would fail quickly. Are y'all with me? We each have to find our right seat on the bus and do our gift with humility. And when we do that, when we humble ourselves, God gives us more grace on top of that. Turn over in your Bible. I got a couple minutes. Turn over in your Bible to James chapter 4. I think. Hang on. Peter. Is that right? Hey, James. Oh, y'all got it? Oh, look at the verse. Thank y'all back there. James chapter 4 and verse 1. Yeah, that's great. 4 and 1. Yeah. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Right? Next. Keep going. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. He's talking about grace. You're fussing and fighting. Right? He says, you lust and do not have. You murder. In other words, you commit. God has the grace, the thing you need, but you can commit spiritual adultery by trying to get it on your own in your own flesh. And not go to him and ask based on your need. We go outside of that and have this fussing and fighting and stuff. Watch. You lust and do not have, you murder. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. The gift that we've been given is for others. All right? You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss and to spend it on your pleasures. Next, please. Adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Here's where I'm trying to go. Keep going. Next. Or do you not think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in you yearns jealously? The spirit who dwells in you and us yearns jealously. In other words, we're trying to get from God. We try to get what we want, but not get it from the right source. Right. Not get it from the source, God and his grace, but get it on our own. He says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Next. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Do you get what he's saying here? He said, the fussing and fighting is because we try to get it on our own and don't submit ourselves to God and say, God, I need your help in playing this better. I need your help in being a better wife, in being a better husband, in being a better parent, in being in whatever it is that you want, that you need. He says, don't do it on your own. Don't commit spiritual adultery. Come to me and get it. Turn over to Peter. First Peter and we're closing, right? Here with chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, and start at verse, that's fine, let's start at 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Listen to what he's saying. Serve each other, right? And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That he may exalt you in due time. So God's wanting to exalt us, but he says, this is a hard saying. God is resisting some of us because of our pride. Is that a hard saying? That is a hard saying, but don't we want to grow? I know I want to. It's hit me like a rock too. I want to grow. I want to grow and be what God's called me to be, and I don't want to get in the way of it. Close your Bible. Is that too strong? Amen. We are going to grow. We're going to multiply. We're going to increase as we learn to tap into our own vocation and our place in church and learn to serve with humility. Our gift at work, this works at work too. This works in life everywhere. This is the word of God. Come on, somebody. Are y'all ready for promotion in this place? Are you ready to reign in life? We're on track. Just stick with me. I'm going to teach on this. We're going to keep digging and digging. I've got a bunch of stuff I want to show you about grace. How many blessed in this place today? Get your seed, get your tithe, get your offering. Amen. Y'all tithers and givers? Here's a good place. Do we trust ourselves or do we trust God? Here's how you know you trust God. You say, Lord, and don't just plop it in. Let's take time and say, Lord, I need you. Why we get stuck financially is because we trust us and not God. It's all what it is. That's what it is. God wants us to trust him in our finances. Get your seed, get your tithe, get your offering. In fact, there's many, many graces. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 talks about the grace of giving. The grace of giving, I can't wait to get to this. The grace of giving unlocks grace for every other thing. Chapter 8 says, when he was talking about the church of Macedonia, how they'd learned to give, and they were giving beyond their own ability. And he says, and in chapter 9, he says, when you receive this gift of grace for giving, when you tap into that, it opens up every grace for you. We're going to get to that just so we can walk in this abundance of grace. Come on, somebody. Let's receive this abundance of grace. Get your seed, get your offering, get your tithe. Y'all ready to go? I'm ready. Y'all learned tonight. Are you glad you came? Y'all kind of quiet, but I'm glad y'all here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here too. Amen. Get your seed, get your tithe. Let's make this faith confession real long, real loud and strong. If you need an offering envelope, raise your hand for your cash giving. Don't forget you can give online as well. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's make this faith confession. Stand up on your feet. Let's get ready to go, y'all. Say it real loud and strong. Say it. I profess. I have entered the rest which you have provided for me in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Because you, Jesus, are my Lord and High Priest, I bring the tithe of all my increase to you and worship you with it. You have provided for me the abundant life through your finished work on the cross. All of my needs are met in superabundance. Reign in life because I receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Now I thank you, Heavenly Father, windows of heaven are open right now, pouring me out a blessing so great and large that I don't have room enough to receive it. Satan cannot touch my body, my mind, my family, my money, or my stuff. I am blessed with all earthly and heavenly blessings because of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus on the cross. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I am. And the are over for me. Anybody believe that in this place? Come on, give God a shout of praise. Are y'all excited about this? This excites me to be able to dig into grace and really, really search it out so that we can receive grace in abundance. How many of y'all want to receive grace in abundance? Yeah, we're on track. We're on track. Let's do it. Let's keep digging in. Don't miss on Sundays, y'all. Y'all going to be here Sunday? All right, let's get the word. Get the word. Bring somebody with you. Yes, ma'am. First time guest. Anybody here for the first time? You ain't never been here before. And here you are. tonight on Bible Study Night. Anybody like that? Wave at me, wave at me, wave at me. Hi, hi, hi. I love that commercial, by the way. Hi, bye. I love it. Somebody doesn't like it. Somebody was fussing at me for doing that. Hi. Amen. Y'all saved? You're blessed? Receiving abundance of grace? Ooh, I can't wait to teach you how to find grace. It says it's in three places in the New Testament. Come on back. I got to tell you. Father, I declare the people blessed, walking in abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I declare no weapon formed against them can prosper. I declare it in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, say this simple prayer after me. Say this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead just for me. You're my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my deliverer. You're my Lord. Right now, if you said that simple prayer, we believe you're born again, forever saved. Join us again next time. If you're watching online, catch us on Sunday. Don't miss. Get this word. I declare you blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. I love y'all. Can't wait to see you next time. God bless you. Peace. Isn't that good, man? Good. Great.